Okay, now we can start.
Locked On Bulls, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, a show for the most passionate fan base in the NBA.
If you build it, they will come. Joel, seen that movie? He's in the movie, Joe.
Hosts Jordan Malley and Matt Peck dive into the best Bulls news and stories around the NBA.
At our 670 The Score studios, Jordan Malley.
Shout out to Jordan Malley.
Did Matt Peck get a signed copy of that book?
No, Matt Peck, he didn't know. No. Talk to D. Rose.
Yeah, he's going to make it happen.
And Matt, you will be getting your book soon.
Kick back and get ready for the best hour of your day.
Are players buying in, Jim?
Yes.
Fair enough.
And so all I was saying on this podcast, the Locked On Bulls podcast.
Locked On Bulls, 5 days a week.
Locked On Bulls starts now.
You can just see the vibe.
Here are your hosts, Jordan Malley and Matt Peck.
What's up and welcome into Locked On Bulls, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. I'm Jordan Malley, along with me is Matt Peck. Follow us on Twitter at Jordan C. Malley, at Bulls underscore Peck, and at Locked On Bulls. Hit us up on our text and voicemail line, 331-979-1369. Drop your text, your voicemails, anything you got for us, drop it there, 331-979-1369. Happy Thursday to you, Matt. Before we kick off...
Jordan, it's Friday.
Holy shit. I did that twice. That was not even a joke there, Matt. It is Friday. Holy shit. I'm telling you, man, the days are just blended together even more so than they were before. Working overnights, they can kind of blend together. I'm sure everybody out there that's worked overnights in the past or does right now, he kind of understand that, but holy shit, I thought it was Thursday. Okay, happy Friday.
Well, congrats to you, man. You just figured out it was the weekend.
Happy Friday to you. This just means we're one day closer to that Bulls documentary that everybody's so desperately out there waiting to see. But I'm driving myself crazy right now. Just kind of, I tried to stay outside as much as I could yesterday. I washed and waxed my car. It was beautiful here in Chicago. I took my dog for a nice long walk. So tried to enjoy the weather as much as I could. How's life up in Michigan right now?
What's up, Jordan? What's up, Bulls Nation? Life up here is good. Actually, a beautiful day yesterday. Looking like another beautiful afternoon today. Going to try and get out in the driveway and shoot some hoops again because it looks like we might have a cold front coming over the weekend and into next week. But yeah, man, this Sunday will mark the 2 week away mark for this Last Dance documentary. And in the meantime, we still got the 96 Bulls title run that's being played every other night with Blackhawks 2010 Cup run on NBC Sports Chicago. Tonight, I believe, is game two Bulls Magic Eastern Conference Finals. The Bulls absolutely waxed Orlando in game one. And tonight's game two is going to be closer. The Bulls actually dug themselves a big hole. I think they were down 18 at one point early in this one. So it'll be fun to watch the Bulls come back and seize a commanding 2-0 series lead against Orlando tonight.
I know what I will be flipping on at the station tonight. We have the Cubs game three of the NLDS playing at the Score. And if you remember the NLDS game three, it was that 13 inning game. So it should be a pretty long game tonight on the radio as far as a replay goes. Yeah.
I was drunk at the end of that one. Oh, my God.
Pat and Ron will be there, though, and so will Joe Ostrowski taking phone calls and stuff, too, to kind of relive those memories, which is kind of cool to hear from Ron and Pat's perspective. Those two guys who were literally calling those games, sitting in the booth, reliving all of this is really, really cool experience. So I know what I will be having on the dual TVs while I listen to the Cubs game as well. But speaking of the station, probably should address what has been going on over the last 24 hours or so, and I'll make it quick, too. But I feel really bad for everybody that got laid off yesterday at 670 The Score. It's we got hit the hardest out of any station here in Chicago as far as layoffs go. But it's a sad reality that we face, and it's one that's killing our industry right now. You realize how important sports were to radio programming. You realize how much money is in sports outside of the players. You realize how much is invested in advertising. When all of that goes away, a lot of people are affected by that. So every one of the Score teammates that was laid off yesterday, I had an opportunity to work with Schuster on Bulls pre and post game. Rick Camp taught me a ton about producing and coming up in the radio industry in the short time I've been at the Score, a little less than a year. Filling in on the Bernstein and McKnight show, I got to work with Connor McKnight a handful of times. And producing Julie DeCaro's show once in a while. I feel bad for everybody that lost their job. It's a tough time, and the station just, you know, I feel like a lot of people at the station too feel the same way that we do. It's just like it sucks, and there's nothing that we can do about it. But yeah, Entercom was making cuts across the United States yesterday, and they felt like they needed it to keep our station and keep our company afloat. So my heart goes out to those people that lost their jobs, though, and not just here in the radio industry either. It's affecting every industry across the world. But I told Rick Camp too, because he was on our show last week, so there was an open invitation for him to come on Locked On Bulls, and you'll definitely be hearing more from him over the next few months. So open invitation to him. And David Schuster will be a good one at some point in the next couple of months to get on as well, because he knows his Bulls like pretty much anybody. He covered those teams of the last 30 years. So he might be an interesting one to talk to as well. But yeah, that's kind of the shape of the station right now and what's going on over at 670.
Yeah, I mean, I learned of these... these casualties from, as you said, you know, 670 being hit pretty hard, kind of like one after the other in sequence. I learned about Julie first, and then my buddy from Outsiders, John, showed me Connor McKnight. Then I saw your good friend and our recent guest, Rick Camp. And then the last one I learned about was Schuster. And I mean, it just seemed like a tidal wave of awful news. I have varying degrees of a professional and friendly relationship with all four of those people. Obviously Rick was just on our show. And even before bringing him on as a guest of Locked On Bulls, somebody that I really enjoy interacting with on Bulls Twitter on a nightly basis, whether it's watching these throwback games right now or struggling through the first 2.5 years of this rebuild, it's been brutal, but Rick's always a really fun and engaging and interesting follow on Bulls Twitter. You and I had Julie DeCaro along with our pal Tony Gill on Locked On not that long ago to talk about their podcasts Behind the Headlines, where they were breaking down all of the crazy ins and outs of the James Jordan murder, which was one of the greatest podcasts that I've ever listened to in recent memory about the world of sports and kind of blending true crime and sports. It was so well done. I've also been lucky enough to be a guest on Julie DeCaro's evening shows a couple of times. And I've never worked with Connor McKnight, but I have run into him at NBC Sports Chicago a handful of times when he's there to do Sports Talk Live, and we're getting there setting up to do Bulls Outsiders. And he could not be a nicer guy. All the interactions I've had with him just seems like such a good dude, in addition to being a very talented sports talk host. And I mean, Schuster, like, what can you say? The guy's a legend. I mean, I've been seeing Schuster in media scrums for a variety of Chicago sports for basically my entire life. And not to make him feel too old, but I mean, the guy's been around forever. And listening to him on the weekends is always a lot of fun. If you're out running errands on, you know, Saturday mornings, recently, I love when he gets behind the mic and he does incredible work. And I'm confident that everybody who was a casualty of these 670 layoffs will find something new and find it quickly, because they are all tremendously talented people in addition to being very kind people.
100% agree. I think they're all going to land on their feet once we can get the pandemic under control and things start to feel somewhat back to normal. And I don't know if things will ever get 100% back to where we were prior to this, but once we start to feel a little bit more of a normalcy, I feel just as confident as you do, is all four of them are very talented, so they're all going to land back on their feet. But the funny thing about, you just brought up Schuster and seeing him in a bunch of media scrums, he also has low-key the best Les Grobstein stories of all time too, because he spent a lot of time with Les back in his early days and also throughout a lot of the time at 670, and just having to go on road trips with Les. He was telling me stories left and right about just crazy, crazy, non-surprising stories about Les. Like, I heard one that was Les is one of the all-time worst drivers he's ever been in a car with. He said they would go travel down to Indy and back to Chicago, and Les would literally make it a 2-hour car ride. And anybody who's drove down to Indy from Chicago knows it's about a 3.5-hour ride. So, yeah, I've heard Les is behind the wheel. Les is a little crazy. So Schuster always had those great stories on top of all the great Bulls stories he had, too. But, yeah, difficult day here in Chicago sports media. And it's not just in Chicago either. A lot of other markets are taking a huge hit just because there are no sports out there. And the one thing that I can say that the leagues are doing is they're desperately trying to find any and every way to bring sports back as soon as possible in unique scenarios. Matt, I saw yesterday the NBA is looking at a possibility of trying to quarantine all the playoff teams in Las Vegas and use that as their spot to play the NBA playoffs. What do you think about that?
Yeah, and there's actually, I think, an update recently from Tom Haberstroh, who's our NBC insider over at NBC, about just this, the difficulty of the logistics of whether or not this could actually happen. And there's some good insight there, so go check that out. I love the idea because, let's be honest, any basketball is better than no basketball. And we are all fiending right now. And we're watching old games and we're looking up old stats and we're doing anything we can to, you know, to fill that void of basketball in our lives. So if the league can find some way to make that happen while maintaining a risk level of zero as far as contributing to this pandemic right now and the spread that has already been an issue in the NBA with players testing positive. You know, and we've heard in recent days and weeks that players that had tested positive have been cleared. Christian Wood just recently tweeting, I think yesterday, I think it was a simple like 3-word tweet that just said beat that Rona. But I'm assuming that means he has been cleared, as have players from the Jazz, as have players like Marcus Smart from the Celtics, people that tested positive amidst the Brooklyn Nets organization. So it's like, this appears to be something that at least NBA personnel are getting under control and getting over, thankfully. Do you take any level of risk to mess all that up by exposing players to each other who maybe are asymptomatic but have actually been exposed? Players that do have it and have not started to feel sick yet. And not just players, but anyone else in and around whatever arena and or basketball court this might happen at, that they need to make this idea function. It just seems really risky to me. And I mean, I hate to say that because God damn, I miss basketball. And I want some kind of resolution to this season.
I'm 100% with you. You know, we just take a look at the example of the Chinese Basketball Association. They tried to bring back the league after at least the timeline here in the United States, where they said we're about 3 or 4 months behind where China was in terms of a timeline. So they just tried to bring their league back and it got shut down after one game. So taking a look at that and the impact that China's had, as they were they had the most severe cases, the most total of cases until obviously the United States surpassed that. So if you take a look at what the Chinese Basketball Association and their timeline was at, and you kind of mirror that with the United States in a best case scenario, I mean, we're probably looking at August or, you know, mid-August or start of September for something to actually come back if we're on the same timeline that China's on. And obviously the NBA doing everything that they can to try to supplement some of these losses that a lot of places have been taking. And, you know, you just look at one radio station here in Chicago as a case study of the Bulls losing the last 14 games of the Bulls and the starts of the Cubs season. So it doesn't just affect directly NBA teams and franchises, but all the media outlets that cover it too, all the sponsorships that we're covering too and getting advertising, it just affects so many different places when pro sports aren't on TV and aren't in action. And we're seeing that kind of play out. And I think it's making people realize just how much money is invested in sports, even though it is, again, just a sport, just a game. There's a lot at stake for that. So I do applaud the NBA and all these other places to try to find creative ways to bring it back, but I'm with you too. It's got to be at a 0% risk rate. If it's anything higher than that, you can't risk it. You just can't risk it, because we could look at a scenario where we go round two of coronavirus or COVID-19 back in the fall if one mistake is made. So it is disappointing, but I do applaud the leagues in general for trying everything and anything that they can do to get things started back up as soon as possible.
Yeah, and I think not necessarily to suggest that the image of the NBA is something that we need to worry about being at stake as compared to actual human lives being at stake, as we're contemplating just how many hundreds of thousands of Americans are going to die because of this. But being the first league to say, we're shutting down. And then that created the domino effect of sports, professional, collegiate, or otherwise, across the country and across the globe, for the most part, to say, okay, time out. No more large gatherings. That means no fans in stadiums. That means players not, you know, being in and around each other with a lot of human contact, this thing that spreads through the air. The NBA has gotten through the tail end of the Stern era and the Adam Silver as commissioner era as being very forward-thinking, very progressive, and very quick to act when decisiveness is needed, whether it be Donald Sterling or whatever else it may be. Taking the All-Star game away from North Carolina when there was that controversy going on and they were doing horrible things that were not in line with the NBA believing in human rights, human rights for all humans. So there is that image that the NBA has built for itself, that they care about being a positive league and not just providing basketball entertainment, but being a solid contributing factor to communities all over the country and all over the world. And shutting down decisively and quickly was in line with that image. This is about the greater good. Yeah, we are about to lose a boatload of money for as long as this league is on pause and this season is on hiatus and all these games aren't getting aired and fans aren't flowing into stadiums. But there are things more important than money. If you all of a sudden 180 that philosophy to take, again, any non-zero level of risk to do something like this, then that image of being a forward-thinking and progressive and humans first kind of professional sports league is put into jeopardy.
And the thing with the NBA, too, is just like you had said, being the first team to come out and say, hey, we're going to shut everything down, you kind of put yourself in a position to be the standard, right? And so if you're the first league to come back and you're the first one to play games and all of a sudden something does happen and you all of a sudden allow the virus to spread among your players again, how does that make the NBA look? So I know the NBA has started to get some backlash from people, analysts, whoever, on TV, on radio, writers, saying the NBA is playing with fire here, trying to bring games back sooner than maybe they should be projecting. So I think that puts the NBA in a difficult position, too, because they don't want to be the first league to come back and all of a sudden something bad happened as well. So they're tiptoeing that line where they're like, we're trying to come up with the safest option and we want to bring sports back as soon as possible. And we also have the most important part of our season coming up with the playoffs and the finals. So I can understand the pressure there from the NBA as well. It's just, it comes at a difficult time and it comes with a lot of risk, too, when you do eventually decide to bring those games back and restart the playoffs. I mean, it's still, even if they feel like it's going to be at a 0% risk rate, there is still going to be a high risk factor the first time a sports league comes back, and a lot of people are going to still be worried. So it's a very weird, difficult time, but I'm hoping we get something sooner rather than later, and that'll just be on you and I, right? And the rest of people that live in this country and the rest of the people that live in this world. The more you social distance, the more you stay at home, the more you wash your hands, the better this outcome comes. The more people that don't do that, the longer this is going to take. So it's going to take all of us to do this in over a period of time.
Say, I agree. I know, and I know it's hard right now as we're all going stir crazy and wishing that we could see our friends or, you know, be around our family and go outside and go to a restaurant or a bar or do something other than sit inside and, you know, record podcasts. Not that this isn't fun, but, you know, I think we all have to self-discipline and for the greater good, you know, we just have to continue doing what is best for everybody until, you know, it is, for lack of a better phrase, safe to come out. And I know that it's hard, especially those of us who are sports junkies who wish that we could either go to a game or go to our favorite sports bar and get together with fellow fans and our friends and watch things that we love to watch right now. And it's not an option, but we have to continue to do what's best and what's smartest for actually getting to a point where we can have that again.
Totally agree. At least we still got the 2K tournament to look forward to with the players that is coming up. But beyond that, if you're sitting at home and you're bored as hell, and maybe you're one of those people that has some money burning a hole in your pocket because you're used to gambling on games, I want to let you guys know that MyBookie is still there for you. Sports has come to a screeching halt, as you know. Basketball's benched, pitchers off the mound, but our friends at MyBookie aren't going to let you down. Stay entertained with access to your favorite games like blackjack, roulette, slots, war, and more. It doesn't matter whether you're out on the front lines or quarantined at home. The fun doesn't have to come to an end with MyBookie. Video poker, not your thing, but still need a fix? They've got you covered with host of live casino dealers online. That's right. They have professional dealers at their tables live on site 24/7. That's actually pretty awesome. Anybody who feels a little bit like, I don't know if I trust the online gaming part of it when you're going to play cards or going to play roulette or anything like that, you can watch live casino dealers doing this live at their tables right in front of you, so you feel like you're actually at the casino. Your favorite squads might be sidelined because of the pandemic, but don't sweat it. MyBookie has partnered with some of the league's esports brands to bring you wagering on virtual action straight from the court in NBA 2K20. Plus, you can always do your part to make your bankroll great again by taking advantage of shifting odds on political bets. Matt, we were talking about the 2K league that was coming up among the players, and I'm sure there's going to be odds on those as well. So I'll have to throw a little bit of my money on that, definitely on my money on Zach LaVine. But anyway, you can trust the industry leaders in times like this. They are reliable, upfront, and best of all, they pay fast when you win. Visit mybookie.ag and use promo code LOCKEDONNBA for 150% bonus on your first casino deposit. That's promo code LOCKEDONNBA to receive 150% cash bonus on your first deposit, and you can claim those funds all the way up to $750. Again, use promo code LOCKEDONNBA to activate this offer. That's promo code LOCKEDONNBA. You spin, you win, you get paid. Matt, let's dive into Denzel Valentine real fast. I know we talked a little bit about him when we were going through the back end of the bench and we were comparing him to some of the other players on the team, but a very, very strange season for Denzel Valentine. And I think there's a lot riding on his offseason as far as whether or not he's going to be back with the Bulls and what kind of changes the Bulls decide to make. But what did you take from a snapshot of his overall season?
Yeah, I mean, the snapshot of Denzel Valentine's season is actually, and maybe it's not fair to him, not about Denzel Valentine. The snapshot of Denzel Valentine's season is Jim Boylan being asked why Denzel, who's theoretically healthy, why is Denzel not playing? And it goes back to you and me and Rick doing our really fun Jim Boylanisms, you know, snake draft from last week, where one of my picks was Jim Boylan giving an answer of because I said so when asked why Denzel didn't play. And then a follow-up question about what does he need to do to play, Jim Boylan saying, well, he needs some seasoning, he needs to grow, and he needs to play. None of which makes any sense. But sadly for Denzel, other than a stretch of games in December when he played pretty well and the Bulls actually as a team played pretty well, they won 7 games that month and like barely 7 games to collective rest of the months of the season. He's a three-point shooter who, yeah, did not shoot as well as he did 2 seasons ago when he was actually on the court and healthy before missing an entirety of the 18-19 season. But for a guy that's supposed to be able to spread the floor on a roster that's having struggles spreading the floor in a system that is supposed to put an emphasis on spreading the floor, why the hell was Denzel not out there? And it was mostly just about a head coach who media and fans alike were looking at and scratching our heads to say, where the hell are these dudes' decisions coming from?
You know, he just plays. Denzel just kind of plays, man. He just has a feel for it.
The worst part of it all is, too, is like we were going into games watching Shaq Harrison play the three. And no, this is no trash on Shaq Harrison, but like, dude, you drafted this guy 14th overall. He's a lottery pick. You guys used him as part of this core. We haven't seen him play in over a season. And Jim Boylan's going to say, you know what? We've got all these injuries. We've got 3, 4, 5 injuries. We have no depth on this roster. But let's stick Denzel Valentine's ass at the end of the bench because maybe he doesn't like everything that I'm spitting out and playing off to these players, which I think was just a disservice because, like you were saying, as soon as Denzel Valentine was reinserted back and got a chance to actually play, he was actually playing halfway well. The worst part, and maybe we can talk about this in a second, the worst part for Denzel Valentine's game is he went out there at the last, I would say, probably the last 3 weeks of games and just said, fuck you, Jim Boylan. I'm going to go out there and take every shot. I'm going to try to create for myself and basically try to just prop up my image because I have no idea if I'm going to be back with this team next year.
I mean, I would say that if there were no changes to the Bulls structurally, that Denzel would be all but gone this offseason as a restricted free agent because Jim Boylan has some issue and essentially refused to play him. However, now we know that there could be some actual changes finally, and that might include a new front office member choosing their own coach. So maybe that person, before they let Denzel go, would say, hang on a second. Let's see if we can find a use for Denzel Valentine. Now, I'm not saying I necessarily think they should do that. You know me. I mean, as much as it didn't make sense to me this season, while healthy, why he wasn't playing, especially after you were continuing to lose games with him on the bench, like try something new at least if you keep losing. I still am not a big believer in Denzel. I think there are flaws to his game, and I think that overall he was a bad draft pick, and that maybe they should move on and let Denzel move on and try and find him a happy home somewhere else in the NBA. But, I mean, the other disappointing part to me was that they didn't even try, from any accounts we got, to trade him at the deadline.
Yeah, and the biggest issue with that is the fact that they couldn't trade him or didn't even try to make a possibility. They only shot themselves in the foot with doing that. I mean, I'm looking at Denzel Valentine's game logs from this past season. In the 6 weeks riding up to the new year or riding up to the trade deadline, Denzel Valentine only played in 8 games. 8 games out of the possible 24 riding up to the trade deadline. I mean, I don't know how you utilize. I don't know how you promote a guy that you're trying to actively look to trade at the deadline with only allowing him to play 8 games in tiny minutes too. There's games where he played at the back end of blowouts, the last 2 minutes of games. There's games where he logged only 10 or 11 minutes. So for the Bulls, they kind of did that to themselves. They didn't allow Denzel Valentine to go out there and play some consistent minutes and actually drive up his trade value if there was any out there at all. But I go back to the last 5 games before the Bulls were shut down. Denzel got the opportunity. I should say, yeah, last 5 games. He got the opportunity to start in all 5 of those games. The first game he came back to start, and the first game he started all season was on the 2nd against Dallas. He had 17 points, 4 rebounds, 2 assists, a block, and 2 turnovers. He shot 7 for 15 from the field. But go look at all those starts. Denzel Valentine just chucking up shots. 15 shots, 11 shots, 17 shots, 10 shots, and 12 shots. It all in an average of about 22 minutes a game. So you look at that, he's chucking up a shot every minute and a half he's in the game. So yeah, I definitely think he was trying to raise his value as much as he could in those opportunities to start. But look, again, the Bulls needed him. The Bulls needed some type of scoring outside of just LaVine and White.
I think we've probably seen the last of Denzel. I don't see him as such a necessary piece that the Bulls would decide that they need to keep him around, even if there are new people, you know, in charge. He's a one-way player. The Bulls have a lot of one-way players right now. I think it's a big problem, one of many problems with this rebuild so far. And I'm given how cap-strapped the Bulls are going to be, like many other teams, especially now considering it's most likely to see the NBA salary cap go down, not up, because of this COVID-19 thing, I think there are other ways that you can improve your roster and change your roster if you take what would be Valentine's qualifying offer and use that money elsewhere.
I'm with you. And if that means going and using that to offer Chris Dunn the qualifying offer and re-signing him for a year, if you feel more confident in using that money there as opposed to trying to work out a deal for both him and Valentine. And the thing with Valentine too isn't necessarily his game, although he did shoot like 28% from three. He was like 8 for 31 in those five starts, which isn't all that great. What you're hoping from Denzel is he can knock down a three at a pretty decent clip. And that's the worst part of it all, is coming off that season right before he had to have season-ending surgery last year, back in late February, early March, and leading into the offseason, Denzel had a really, really nice season under Fred Hoiberg, and then we saw things start to tumble and the injuries just started to pile up. So that's my biggest concern with Denzel, is just not necessarily his game. It's more so being able to stay healthy and be able to stay as a contributor with this Bulls team. So I think you might be right that Denzel might not be back unless the Bulls offer him the qualifying offer and he accepts it and plays on a 1-year deal and hopes to stay healthy. But outside of that, maybe he gambles on himself in a 1-year deal and goes somewhere else where he can feel like he gets a lot more playing time. And this is especially true if Jim Boylan's coming back next season.
Yeah, and let's all hope that's not the case. But, I mean, I don't know. If I asked you, Jordan, of their impending restricted free agents, who would you rather see the Bulls make an effort to keep, Valentine or Dunn? What would you say?
Ooh, I would probably say Dunn. I've been a true Dunn believer. And, you know, the funny part about Dunn is so many people shat on him this offseason. So many people did. So many people were so ready to drive him out of the Bulls system. So ready to just get rid of him, trade him, do whatever. They felt like Satoransky was going to be fine. Kobe White was going to be fine. You could fill in with Shaq and Ryan Arcidiacono. And we turned out pretty quickly to understand that that is not the case, that you did need Chris Dunn. Chris Dunn was probably, I'm not even going to say probably. He was. Chris Dunn was the best defender the Bulls had all season. The most consistent defender all season. That guy doesn't come around too often. And you know how the Bulls love their defensive-minded guys, too. I think Chris Dunn, I would rather see him come back than I would see Denzel come back. And I think there's actually a place long-term for Chris Dunn. And it seems like he's more open to the idea of coming off the bench and being that second-unit guard. And if he's open to that, I think there is a future for Dunn to be here and it not break the checkbook for the Bulls.
Yeah, I mean, I can see the point, and I don't necessarily disagree with it entirely. And yes, Chris Dunn, solid defender, best defender for the Bulls this season. To me, he's an even more egregious example of a one-way player than Denzel Valentine is, because in today's NBA, a useful offensive player is more useful than a useful defensive player. And I would say 90 cases out of 100, that is true. And Chris Dunn was such a woeful, unwatchable black hole offensively for the Bulls this season that I'm like, if I have to watch Chris Dunn launch one more three-pointer, I'm going to kill myself. Like, and don't get me wrong, I am with you. I had high hopes for Chris Dunn. And some of the things we saw from him early on in this rebuild were encouraging. And to me, it was more a matter of, okay, there might be a chemistry issue with Dunn and LaVine, but maybe we can work around that. And also, Dunn just can't stay healthy. Well, the chemistry issue with LaVine continued, and LaVine proved to be a much more useful player, certainly on the offensive end, and the can't stay on the floor issue continued. So that's why I'm skeptical of the Bulls saying, you know, this season was really tough for us, but one bright spot was Chris Dunn. It's like, dude, you can't call it a bright spot just because the season was that freaking bad. I don't want to see the Bulls offering him significantly more than the qualifying offer, if that, because I don't think he's worth it, sadly.
Matt, I got some breaking news to divert us away from Denzel Valentine right now, and this can kind of wrap up our episode. We can talk about this a little bit more tomorrow. But breaking news story filed by Adrian Wojnarowski about 7 minutes ago. The Chicago Bulls have embarked on a formal search process to hire a new top executive with full authority on basketball decisions, sources tell ESPN. Among the Bulls' initial plans will seek permission to interview Denver Nuggets general manager Arturis Karnazovs and Toronto GM Bobby Webster, among other candidates, sources told ESPN. Ownership has discussed the plans with executive VP of basketball operations, John Paxson, and GM Gar Foreman. Paxson is likely to continue in an advisory role with the franchise. There are expect to be more ownership conversations with Foreman about his future, too, sources have said. So, initial thoughts on that?
First of all, let's point out one more detail that follows the paragraph you just read, which I think is pretty interesting here. The Bulls are planning to talk with several possible candidates to lead the franchise and plan to have a new leadership well before any possible resumption of play during the NBA shutdown because of the coronavirus pandemic. Interviews will start next week and will be conducted electronically. So what does that tell you? That, to me, the way that that reads isn't they expect to have this in place before the next Bulls game resumes, as in like whatever the 2019-20 or the 2021 season starts, because if the NBA comes back, we all largely believe it will go straight into a playoff of some kind and that the regular season is over. So that's interesting. That makes it sound like if the NBA is to come back at some point later this summer to finish this season and resolve it with some kind of playoff and some kind of champion, that the Bulls front office change will be happening before that happens. So this looks like something that is happening in the immediate future and not the future. So that is encouraging. However, I don't care about the names right now. I'm sorry, I don't. You can say this assistant GM from this organization or that GM from this organization, and some of these are new names and some of them are old that we see in this Woj report. None of this matters to me because this is like a half measure. I still see this as a half measure. And what you read about Paxson likely continuing in an advisory role, even if Paxson's the one who has suggested this front office change to ownership, even if the advisory role is nothing more than that and he's just a glorified title because the loyalty with Reinsdorf will not die, you still have the perception issue. And this sounds like maybe Gar will actually be gone, and that certainly helps. But even if this whole quote-unquote full authority is given to this new voice, this new executive, I'm sorry, but I will not be content until Gar and John are both fucking gone. Simple as that.
We studied the options.
You can just see the vibe been in this building.
My favorite part is if they conduct these interviews electronically and they use Zoom, can you imagine the people trying to get into those Zoom meetings? Just random Bulls fans just trying to drop in on a Zoom meeting where they're trying to interview a GM. Obviously, they're going to...
This new thing that people are doing, like Zoom bombing, where they just like jump into some other Zoom conference and like throw porn up there or like say like spew hate speech. What the hell are wrong? People are terrible.
People are terrible.
I hope no Bulls fans would do that.
I would hope the Bulls are smarter than to use Zoom as an open public source to conduct their GM meetings. But I was reading a lot of really, really high up companies. And I mean, even some government officials were using Zoom as part of a way to hold meetings and stuff. And I'm like, that is just, I don't care. I don't care how safe you think it is. People can still find a way to hack into all that shit. So hopefully the Bulls are doing their business on a little bit safer level than Zoom, because Zoom is not encrypted end to end. And what encryption end to end means is basically all of your shit is protected. And there's no way for anybody to hack in to get any of your private information. So, but yeah, I would hope they would be conducting these searches at a place where they're not going to be exposed to anything like that. But we'll definitely have more on this tomorrow. As we're talking about it, I'm retweeting. We're already getting a ton of tweets in, Matt, at Locked On Bulls. So if you want to drop your thoughts on that, 331-979-1369. This will have to linger till kind of Monday, but this will give us an opportunity to kind of maybe see some more stories file out and focus this more heavily on Monday. But I'm with you, too. Until anything actually happens, I'm not convinced of anything. So they can throw as many names as they want out there to us, but until we actually have a firm decision made, I'm still going to be very, very, very skeptical on all of this.
Yeah. And look, obviously there's some level of hype attached to this because it's Woj and like his word is gospel, and it's during free agency season and trade season, it's Woj alerts. And so of course, already in the last 10 minutes, like, you know, my Twitter's blowing up. I'm sure yours is too. People are texting me. People are saying, oh my God, it's happening because it's Woj. But it's like, guys, we got this story All-Star weekend from local sources, Casey Johnson and Joe Cowley. This was a story that has been reported that this front office change was coming, and pretty much every one of the names listed in this Woj report has already been said as potential candidates.
Right.
So we didn't learn a whole lot new here, which is why the one thing I highlighted as what we actually learned that is new, if true, is that this is happening soon, not somewhere down the line in this weird, like, is it a paused season? Is it the off season? No, before NBA basketball resumes, they expect to have these changes in place, and that interviews are happening as soon as next week. That's what we learned. But again, I will, even if it's said to be happening a week from now, I will believe it when I see it. And even when I see it, if Gar and John are both still here, I will not be satisfied.
I think that's a definitely a good way to put it. I think that's going to about do it here on Locked On Bulls, though. Like we said, coming back Monday, if there's anything developing, or Matt, I mean, shit, if we get breaking news, maybe we'll have to come back for a weekend episode if the Bulls decide on somebody this weekend. So if that does happen, I don't expect it to, but we said that about... Remember when we said that about Jabari Parker signing and then we come back from the weekend?
Oh my God.
And oh my God. I might have to pull that as a Bulls rewind for us and have people go back and listen to that, because that was probably the funniest two episodes we ever did. Just the amount of texts and voicemails we were getting in after Jabari signed on that Monday.
I was so done, man.
That's a good one. I'll have to maybe bring that back next week for some of our newer listeners who haven't been around here since that happened. So if you're a newer listener, we'll definitely start bringing some of those back. We're gonna bring some of good interviews back as well, start to cut up some of the best rewinds that we've had with people that maybe we haven't had on in a while, and we have some great guests coming up next week as well, so get excited for that. But yeah, some little breaking news to end our week here on Locked On Bulls, and I wanted to finish it with this.
These become interrogations. They're not interviews. They're interrogations.
Let's hope they're holding their interviews that are not interrogations, but they are.
Get the hell out of here, John. I am so done with this, dude.
Kept our flexibility long term, which was also important to us.
Yeah, I'm going to flex my fist into your face.
Well, that's going to about do it here on Locked On Bulls. Hit us up at 331-979-1369. You want to talk a little bit about the front office moves or who you think might be a good fit for running the Bulls basketball operations. We'll take all of those texts and all of those voicemails. 331-979-1369. You can always hit us up on Twitter, too, at Jordan C. Malley, at Bulls underscore Peck, and at Locked On Bulls. Thanks to our sponsor, MyBookie.ag, for sponsoring today's show. Again, use promo code LOCKEDONNBA to get a 150% bonus deposit in your account up to $750. Locked On NBA is the promo code, mybookie.ag, the website. For Matt Peck, I'm Jordan Malley. Bulls Nation, stay safe. Have a wonderful weekend. We'll be back on Monday with a fresh episode. For Jordan and Matt, we are out. Deuces.
You know, he just plays. Denzel just kind of plays, man. He just has a feel for it.
Get on that bird and keep playing.
Locked On Bulls, a show for the most passionate fan base in the NBA. Hosts Jordan Malley and Matt Peck dive into the best Bulls news and stories around the NBA. For more content and to stay up to date, head over to LockedOnBulls.com